From Vermont Public Radio, this is The Frequency. I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And I'm Henry Epp. It's Tuesday, August 11th. Today on the podcast...
It's starting to thin on top a bit, so if I were to cut it off, it would be more about the vanity of having a ponytail without anything on top.
First, today's headlines.
Happy primary day, everyone. It's an unusual one with an explosion in the use of mail-in ballots this year. 152,000 residents requested mail-in ballots this year, and town clerks have already received 107,000 back. That means before a single in-person vote is cast, Vermont is getting close to setting a new record high for votes on primary day. Because of that, Secretary of State Jim Condos says crowds are expected to be small at polling places today.
But remember, if you didn't send in an absentee ballot, you can still go to the polls anytime before 7 p.m. today.
And three more cases of COVID-19 were reported yesterday. They were identified in Chittenden, Rutland, and Bennington counties. No one in Vermont is hospitalized with the disease.
The Agency of Education released back-to-school guidance in June that required 6 feet between students in the classroom this fall. But Health Commissioner Mark Levine told Vermont Edition yesterday that updated guidance is coming today, which will require only 3 to 6 feet between students.
Even if a 3 to 6 foot range became the new norm, I can assure you that it would only be the norm for the younger student population.
Levine says high school students should be treated as adults when it comes to their ability to transmit COVID-19.
Just a few weeks before University of Vermont students are scheduled to start fall classes, a war of words between Burlington Mayor Moreau Weinberger and UVM President Suresh Garamilla has been heating up. Yesterday, Garamilla defended UVM's reopening plan, saying its COVID-19 testing strategy is, quote, the most aggressive in the entire nation. The school plans to test all students before they arrive on campus, as well as the day they show up, and the university will conduct weekly tests until September 18th, when it will reassess. This comes as a response to Mayor Weinberger, who said last week that he was concerned that UVM had changed its plans from testing students twice a week to only once a week. Weinberger also said UVM should share its test results daily.
Okay, so Anna, over the last month or so, I interviewed nearly all the candidates who are running for governor today, with the exception of Republican Governor Phil Scott and Chris Erickson, who's running for the progressive nomination. Both of them declined an interview. And we talked about a lot of major issues, COVID-19, race and policing, climate change. And I also asked some lighter questions about their backgrounds. And there just was not time on the air to include everything. So I thought we should hear some of the more interesting parts of the interviews here on the podcast today. So, if you're good with this, let's go ahead and hear from some candidates, yeah?
All right, let's do it.
Okay, so let's start with the Republican candidates. Here's Bernard Peters, John Klar, Emily Payton, and Doug Cavett.
Well, we'll take the plastic bags and straws. They banned them first thing here. Mm-hmm. My question was, why didn't they think about seeing if they could get a business in here that would make paper bags? I mean, you'd have jobs. You'd help the loggers, and you'd have had something take the place of it before you banned it, not afterwards. And they still haven't done nothing about it afterwards.
Well, stores presumably are still able to get paper bags right now.
Right, but I mean, they charge you for them. But I mean, if a company come in and they sold the stores these bags, which were made in Vermont, I mean, it would help the economy and help the workers, and I think it would help the people because paper bags you can reuse, some of the plastic you can, and people would have a choice. Now they don't have no choice.
If we want to really change the environment, here's a conservative value. We shut off our lights at night. We turn down our heat and wear a sweater. We ask our young people to stop buying 12 different electronic devices, because when we measure what is being used, we also need to measure all of those devices and where they go in the waste stream. We've got young people who use more energy than older people do, who have been weaponized against older people, like somehow we deliberately left them an economic or an environmental disaster. So I think that
the level of carbon dioxide is rising, which is causing climate change and global warming. This is well-established scientific fact. I mean, isn't that leaving younger generations a world that is worse off than what older generations experienced?
There are several layers there. For one thing, to fault older generations for not having solved the problem of which they were unaware is pretty unfair.
Hindsight is 2020, and here in 2020, we have the benefit of a great deal of hindsight with the pandemic or the protocols that have been outrolled for COVID.
Mm-hmm. I want to turn to another.
I would like to add, it really baffles me why this governor has not put a hand washing station on the corner of every street or every town and porta potties for people to use, because what's happening is that people are using the woods in the most terrible way and providing a lot of problem with sanitation. So, you know, little things like that are very important.
The leader of the National Republican Party right now is the president, President Donald Trump. Do you support him?
No, I don't.
Why not?
Because he has personal problems.
Can you expand more on that? I mean, will you not be voting for him in November?
I definitely will not be. Unfortunately, he is just rude to too many people.
And one note about Doug Cavett, who we just heard from, that I think is worth mentioning. He was convicted of sexually assaulting a minor and served several years in prison.
All right. So those were the Republican candidates, but there are more, aren't there?
Yeah. So let's go to the progressive ballot. Again, Chris Erickson declined an interview, but I did talk to Boots Wardinski, and he has run in most election cycles dating back to 1990, and he has never won. So I asked him about that.
I just want to circle back to where we started, which is your motivations for running for office.
Yep.
Do you feel like you've made any progress in getting your message out over the years and the many times you've run as a Liberty Union candidate and in other primaries? Do you feel like you've made progress there?
No.
Okay, so now to the Democrats, Ralph Carcajou Corbo, Rebecca Holcomb, Pat Winburn, and David Zuckerman. Let's start with Ralph Carcajou Corbo.
Just finally, your nickname is Carcajou. What does that mean?
It's the French word for Wolverine.
Okay, and how did that nickname come about?
It was a nickname that was given to me during my extensive varsity and then semi-pro hockey career by one of my coaches, the late Jackie LeClaire, who was a two-time Stanley Cup winner with the Montreal Canadiens.
Okay, so you were a Wolverine on the ice.
Yeah, they said because of my combativeness.
Just finally, before I let you go, you were a public school teacher for some time. I'm wondering if you could tell us about a particular day or moment from your time as a public school teacher that stands out to you, good or bad, but is memorable to you.
You know, I worked in a number of systems, and one of the things that I think many people value about their communities is that, you know, often we're small and you have a small cohort of kids who grow up and go to school together all the way up through sixth or eighth grade. And I remember teaching once as an eighth grader in a classroom and having a child come into the class who had Down syndrome and had been working to learn how to read and write. And he stood up in the class and he presented a paragraph that he'd written to his peers, and his peers didn't know. They'd been with him all the time, and he was a beloved member of their community, and they had no idea how hard he'd been working and how much he learned. And when he began to read this paragraph, at the end, you look around the room, and all the kids, I mean, these were eighth graders, and, you know, they can be tough. I love them, but they can be tough. They were all, you know, teary because they knew how hard he'd worked, and they knew how proud he was of it.
I want to ask you about your social media, which you mentioned. You have a Twitter account where you state your positions on some issues. You've also written some tweets that I found a little bit perplexing. For example, on June 22nd, you tweeted, 40 gallons of sap to make 1 gallon of syrup with a question mark, and June 24th, life is short, that's the point. What exactly is your social media strategy?
Well, we're just trying to make contact with people, ordinary people, and to begin a conversation. And, you know, it's not all, serious as far as the connections, but, you know, you have to reach out and talk to people and start a conversation and get people to listen to you and, even more importantly, to listen to them. And I think that those have, generated quite a bit of interest and ongoing contact with our campaign.
Wait, hang on. So, Henry, did those tweets actually get a lot of attention?
No. So I looked back and the tweet about maple syrup got one like and zero retweets. And his tweet about life is short had zero likes, zero retweets. Anyways, let's hear from the final Democrat in the race. That would be Lieutenant Governor David Zuckerman.
Before I let you go, Lieutenant Governor Zuckerman, I want to ask a sort of personal question. One of your more distinctive physical features is your ponytail. And I'm curious if you'd keep that if you're elected governor of Vermont.
Well, I have no reason to cut it from a political perspective one way or the other. It's starting to thin on top a bit. So if I were to cut it off, it would be more about the vanity of having a ponytail without anything on top. But that is not something that's front and center on my mind relative to serving as governor. You know, the economic well-being, the health in the COVID crisis, and our rural economy and the climate crisis are really what's more important than the length of my hair. But I appreciate the question.
All right. So that's a taste of who's on the ballot. You can find a whole lot more at our voter guide. That's at vpr.org. And remember to vote today if you haven't.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency. We had additional reporting today from Peter Hirschfeld, Emily Aiken, and Liam Elder Connors.
If you want to get in touch, you can always email us at thefrequency@vpr.org or find us on Twitter at @thefrequencyvpr.
Our executive producer is Mark Davis, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And I'm Henry Epp. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Well, yeah, thank you so much for the time today.
Thank you.
And I don't know if it's possible. Do you have an email address by any chance?
No, we don't have no computers, no email. No, we don't have any of that.
Okay.
Best way to get me is telephone.
Okay.